Isaiah chapter 39. Now, I've just been reading in Isaiah how Hezekiah was really sick and was going to die, and God said, "You are going to die, so get your house in order. You're going to die right now." And it was at the very time that the Assyrians were surrounding the city of Jerusalem. But Hezekiah prayed and begged God and wailed and mourned before him, we're told, like he was a dove begging God. And so God said, "Okay, I'll give you 15 years extra to live, and I will save the city out of the hand of the Assyrians." That's what happened. Now, how does Hezekiah use those 15 years? Well, let's read here. Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that he'd been sick and had recovered. Hezekiah was pleased with them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold, the spices, the precious oil, the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his kingdom, that Hezekiah didn't show them. Now, wait a minute. Hezekiah and Judah had just been overrun by the Assyrians, and the whole of Judah had fallen and been destroyed, apart from Jerusalem, and they'd been surrounded in the siege. Where's he got all this wealth from? I think what it was that when the angel went out and killed 185,000 Assyrians, that basically was the end of the Assyrian army. And so everyone in all the other nations thought, "Oh, Hezekiah must be the guy to be in with. He defeated the Assyrians." Well, of course, it wasn't him. It was God who did it. But anyway, they, from a human point of view, thought that it was Hezekiah. So they all thought, "Oh, let's get in with Hezekiah," and sent him all these valuable presents. And it obviously went to his head, because in the record in Chronicles, it talks about this, it says that his heart was lifted up in pride. And again, it's pride that's the killer. He suddenly, out of relative poverty, as this king of an impoverished, conquered nation in Judah, with just Jerusalem hanging on there, he suddenly becomes super wealthy. It's like he'd won the lottery, and his heart is lifted up in pride. And so if you wonder why maybe God hasn't given us huge wealth, or why we don't win the lottery, as it were, I think this has got something to do with it, because we might be lifted up in pride. And God hates pride, and it's pride that's going to keep so many people out of being in his kingdom. And God wants us to be in his kingdom. So Isaiah the prophet came to Hezekiah and asked him, "What did these men say? Where did they come from to you?" And Hezekiah said, "They have come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon." So he's sort of showing off that, well, they came all the way from Babylon to see me. Then he asked, "What have they seen in your house?" Hezekiah replied, "They've seen all that is in my house. There's nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them." How arrogant is that, "Oh, I've got all these wealthy things, let me show them off to you." It's like giving someone a guided tour of your house, saying, "Oh, and this computer cost so much, and that computer costs so much. Oh, and my kitchen costs so much, and my whatever, my cooker costs so much, and I've just bought a car for so much." This is so, so abhorrent to God. So Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of Yahweh of armies. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says Yahweh. They will take away your sons who will issue from you, whom you shall father, and they will be eunuchs in the king of Babylon's palace." Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "Yahweh's word which you've spoken is good." He said, "Moreover, for there will be peace and truth in my days." So what a tragedy. He gets his extra 15 years, and he just shrugs and says, "Oh, well, that's all right. God's not said he's going to take it away from me. I'll just get on and live my 15 years. And sure, afterwards there's going to be trouble." You know, what he should have done is get on his knees and say, "I have sinned. Please change this. Please don't do this." Just like he did when he himself was sick and was told, "You are going to die." He says, "Oh, God, please change your mind." And God did. And so now when God says this is what's going to happen to your children, well, he could have prayed to God and done something about it, but he just shrugs and says, "Oh, well, fair enough. There will be peace and truth in my own days, my 15 years. And so this is the mentality that so many people have. As Paul says, they say, Well, there's no real hope in the future. Let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. And that is not how we should be. We have the hope of resurrection to eternal life. It is not for us to become materialistic. It is not for us to be led away by the fact that other people have a high opinion of me. You know, that these people from Babylon obviously thought very highly of Hezekiah and wanted to show him that, oh, we're in with you, we think you're great. And so, when we're sick, when we've got a problem, we always pray to God, oh God, please heal me, please get me out of this. And he does, because he loves us. But you know, it might very well be that spiritually, it were better that we had just carried on with that suffering, even death. Because the biggest thing is we want to be in God's kingdom. But people often don't have that kingdom perspective. We come down very small before God. You know, man comes down at times very small before God, like Hezekiah did, mourning and whining and begging him, please don't let me die. And sure, God loves us. It's rather like the father in the parable of the prodigal son. And he gives the prodigal son what he asks for, even though he knew he's going to waste it and it was going to lead him astray. So God loves us, and it should therefore be no surprise, however, if we don't always get the things we ask for, especially material things, because God wants us to be in his kingdom. And look, here's a man who was given 15 years, who was saved, and who promised that he would walk quietly in humility the rest of his life before God, awed by God's grace. That's how he felt at the moment, but he didn't keep it up, did he? As soon as he then got wealth, oh, his heart was lifted up. Oh, yeah, other people think I'm cool. Oh, I am cool. Oh, this is all going to go into captivity? Yeah, well, so God says, but oh, I've got peace and truth for 15 years. So what? I just enjoy myself. Please don't have that attitude. Let's learn the lesson from Hezekiah.